You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week, the Auckland University Students Association executive election nominations have opened and will close on Friday, the 28th of August. The role of AUSA is to provide a united and representative voice independent of the university to the students of the University of Auckland and provide a range of services and events that students want and need. The executive members sit on the number of committees and advocate for students, along with organising events and working on student initiatives. So over the next month, University of Auckland students can put their name forward to be part of the AUSA executive for 2021. Voting opens the Monday 31st of August and closes the following Friday on the 4th of September. Any UOA student is able to vote whether they are an AUSA member or not. There is no specified campaigning period this year, with the week of voting being the only opportunity for nominees to campaign on their policies and get their name out to the student body. Here in the newsroom, we've been talking about, and at BFM, we've been talking about the impact of having no specific campaigning period and what that effect it will have on student engagement in voting this year, particularly as we've been made aware that only around 1.3% of the total population of the University of Auckland voted in the executive elections last year. I spoke to the newly appointed General Manager of AUSA, Will Watterson, about the upcoming AUSA election, the engagement of students in voting, the relationship between the university and the Student Association, and why it is important to have a General Manager at AUSA. Here is Will. The AUSA election nominations have opened this week. What is the plan for the AUSA election this year?
Yeah, so nominations are open. You and I are speaking here. It's Monday the 3rd of August. Nominations are open. They'll be open until the 28th, so that's 4 weeks. And as you said, it's the AUSA executive elections, which is those students who get voted on to that group will become the actual governance board of the student association, but also they all have portfolios. They go around the university, sitting at these important meetings, making sure that all the issues at the university that you guys care about so much get fixed. So that's the idea. Very long nominations process.
Yeah, so it's a month, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a month. And then basically the candidates get briefed on sort of the rules, what you can or can't do when you're campaigning, and they immediately launch into a campaigning and voting phase. They've actually been merged.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's 5 days where you can go around campaigning, say, vote for me, vote for me, and students can actually go, okay, cool, and they can actually vote for you that day that they hear about you.
But there's no specified campaigning time. Is there a reason that decision was made?
So I did ask the exec about that when I started, and their feeling or their experience, they said in the past, had been that students had been frustrated that you see someone campaigning, you want to take action on that, but you can't. You have to wait for the voting to commence, which, you know, is a valid point of view. I guess the real test will be, you know, does it work? And, you know, we'll be able to look at the timestamps for the digital voting and see when they peak, when they fall off. And if they're still quite high towards the end of the voting period, then maybe we actually do need a longer period.
Because a week is a short time as well.
It's short.
Yeah, it is short.
My previous role was at AUT, at the Student Association there, and they had a two-week campaigning phase and then a two-week ballot phase, voting phase. Back there, we found that you'd get a peak in the first few days, but then every time you promoted it again, you'd get another little mini peak. And we found that was really helpful. So maybe the new exec, if you're listening to this and you're running for a role, that's a rule we could always change in the future.
Let's move on to talk a little bit about engagement in voting and elections. People might say that students don't necessarily engage as well in student association elections, particularly at the University of Auckland. I know I've been a student at the University of Auckland who did engage because I had friends that were running for positions. However, if you don't know who you're voting for and you don't have access to the Facebook page or whatever's being promoted as campaign material, perhaps you won't engage with it as well. What are your thoughts on student engagement in voting?
Yeah, I think there's sort of a in general answer to that, and I think there's a University of Auckland answer to that.
Okay.
You know, I think in general, since 2012, where we had voluntary student membership, budgets are reduced for student associations across the country, and also student associations now, most of them have these service level agreements with the university where they're kind of like a contractor, and they're getting paid some of the student levy to deliver a range of services. And so the whole relationship's changed. And I think also there's that parallel with the general elections where we've seen the youth vote, you know, being fairly poor over the last few years. So I think in general, young people these days, students, they're asking themselves, well, what difference does it make? Why should I care? Why should I be involved? I'm super busy. I've got all these studies I'm doing. But then specifically here as well at the University of Auckland, I just think, and again, I'm new, so this is just an observation, but I think the last few years we've fallen into a little bit of a malaise where it's been a self-defeating cycle perhaps, where we thought, oh, we're not getting great elections engagement, so maybe elections it's not important, but you know, these are the kinds of things where actually you need to have the same amount of energy and investment every year to make them a success. Mm. And you can't just rest in your laurels. And unfortunately, last year, you know, we had one of our lowest, if not our lowest, engagement levels ever. Yeah, and I'm happy to say this. You know, we had 600 people voting.
Wow.
Out of, and a university. What is it, 45,000 students, you know, and most of the roles either vacant or uncontested, you know, which is really problematic. So, I mean, we're very lucky that the people we did get into the exec are fantastic, but we can't rely on luck. You know, we have to have a really robust democratic process so that we get lots of awesome students running.
Because I think that's the thing also is that perhaps people don't realise the sort of work that these people that are getting voted into this position are doing and the powers that they have. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, I don't know, maybe it's something that comes from school council at high school and you think, oh gosh, whoever's voted onto school council, they have very little power. Mm. But, you know, having known somebody working in the executive, it's a big job and they sit in some big roles as well.
And they do more than you think. Like, you know, I mentioned our current exec before. How many students here know that that the grade bump, the recent grade bump with COVID, was the responsibility of the student association? That was a win that they got through, you know, all the orientation activities, the party in the spark and things like that. But also the university right now is formulating its five-year plan, and the student exec from AUSA are actually part of the team that are putting input into that plan. So it's a great time to join where you can feed into, you know, the long-term strategy and outcomes for the university. And our execs are on all kinds of forums like that. Obviously, it's one of those things where you don't really see it because they happen behind closed doors, but they're so important.
And I think also the fact that it's not just the executive who are, like, working in that building. You know, they've got advocacy and a whole lot of other staff and people working under AUSA as well. So it is a bigger entity than I think what people think it is, perhaps.
Yeah, 2,000 class reps, you know, an international buddy system. They do a lot. They do a lot. And, you know, you get to work with a great team of staff. And I'm not sure how many people know, but these are actually paid roles. Mm-hmm. You know, the president's a full-time paid role. The VPs are all, I think, 20 hours a week. And there are other 10-hour-a-week portfolio roles too.
So you're voting people into a job.
You get to save the world and make a little bit of moolah on the side, you know, pay for those jugs at sheds or whatever it might be that you need money for.
So there hasn't been a general manager for the last, I'm not 100% sure, for the last little while at AUSA. What is the general manager and why is it important that we have one?
So I guess the easiest way to describe what a general manager does at AUSA is to contrast them with the student exec. So the student exec are the guys we vote in every year. They go out there, you know, rattling the saber at the university, making sure everything's happening that should be happening for students. But they're also the legal governance board of the organization. And contrasted to that, you have management. So what gets tricky is if you have people who are involved in governance that then get involved in the day-to-day detail, the operations and the management. And the staff at AUSA, of whom there are a number, you know, need that day-to-day support and that leadership. So that's where the general manager comes in, basically. And, you know, for various reasons, AUSA have had some people who've given it a good shot, I think, and then some people who just weren't right for the role. Let's just put it that way. But I'm here now, and I'm really excited. You know, I think we've got a great team. I'll be able to take a lot of that admin and operations work off the execs so they can concentrate more on what they do best, and support our team as well to reach even greater heights. So
how do you think that's going to be done? I know I'm sort of jumping back a little bit, but going into student engagement and getting more people involved in wanting to be in AUSA and like feeling like they're a part of something. Because I know I've spoken to people about it before, and you say this university is so huge, we're chopped up into our various little degrees, and you stick with your faculty. Is that going to be a problem? Is it going to be different to AUT moving to AUSA? Big campus, big numbers of people. How do you bring everybody together to want to be part of the student association?
Yeah, well, look, I'm happy to say that the AUSA does do some things better than AUTSA. Sorry to my friends who are listening to this, but one thing is the student council they've put together, you know, which is the presidents of all the faculty associations. It's fantastic. I attended one of the meetings briefly, and seeing that many passionate people in a room bringing student voice to the center, you know, and having our president chair that meeting. So I absolutely agree with you. Most students are caught up in their faculties and in their particular slice of the university, but that's where our faculty associations are really, really helpful. And then they can feed that information through to the student council meetings. The minutes and reports from the student council meetings go to all kinds of important forums around the university. So I think in one way it's a fantastic initiative that AUSA has created to try and connect.
Link everyone up. Do you feel that the relationship currently between AUSA and the university, I feel like that's something as well that people sort of forget that they are separate entities, although, you know, related. Do you think that there needs to be work on how the university and AUSA are talking to each other and working with each other?
I do. I think what we've got now is okay. It's okay. I wouldn't say it's any more than that. I mean, we have members of the exec who are feeding into the five-year strategy for the uni. There's a consultative group that some of our execs sit on how the university spends the student levy, which is good. But at the same time, you know, our president hasn't heard from or had FaceTime with the vice chancellor in his entire time of his tenure, as far as I'm aware. And what I'm used to at AUT is the president having, you know, monthly meetings with the VC, one-on-one, no one else in the room, coffee date, you know. Weekly meetings with pro-vice chancellors, that kind of thing. That's the level we need to get to, where at the very highest levels of leadership at the university, they're hearing that student voice. That has to happen.
Do you think there's a reason that has perhaps fallen to the wayside here?
I think it's a mixture of things. I think, in all fairness, AUSA has at times not proven that it's in a position to give that feedback, or that we have a mandate from students, you know, when we get so little votes, for instance, in our elections. But we are on a really good upwards trajectory at the moment. In part as well, I think it's the university's attitude to student input. University of Auckland is fantastic. It is run like a business. And at the very least, you need to acknowledge that these are your customers and the importance of customer feedback. But, we tend to have student presidents and vice presidents who are at that level in their thinking where they could definitely feed in to the vice chancellor's level of thinking as well. So I want to see that happening. That's what we'll be working on. Dawn, if you're listening to this, we'd love to buy you a coffee.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.